Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High of Israel. And we want to say, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water and Job. It's real. Coming to mentions and the Commonwealth. We are dealing with the creation. And for those of us that missed the beginning of the concept or precept of this creation thesis, well, you're getting a great opportunity to get where we're coming from, but we're starting. So, with that being said, once again, I want to welcome everyone. We got a reader this morning. Shalom, shalom.
Hello? Shabbat shalom, brother.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Grace and peace.
Shabbat shalom. Grace and peace. In the family.
Amen, amen.
Grace and peace.
Today, we're dealing with the creation. We're dealing with God. You know, we're still in the first day. Last week, we dealt with in the beginning. And we wasn't going to go into that whole thing again, but if you want to hear that precept, just go back to listening to it again. We're going to upload it again for those of us that missed it. But we are dealing with God, right? Because that's the second thing he had in that first chapter. So let's get into this. Without ado, we're going to open up with a scripture reading and with prayer. So, Brother Keith, if you can find us a scripture, and brothers and sisters, brothers, if you could stand and face Jerusalem and uncover your head, and sisters, if you can cover your head and stand and face Jerusalem as we approach the Father.
Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Yep. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people returneth hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung unto them. And they say, how doeth God know? And there is no knowledge in the Most High. I have read Psalm 73, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord add a reading and a teaching and the blessing of his word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy to send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word, but wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to proceed and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word, but wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, once again, we want to say welcome to another episode of the Signs of Living Waters. We are in the creation. We're dealing with the creation. And what are we dealing with in the creation? We're dealing with God right now. We're dealing with God. And what is God? Who is God? What do that mean to us, right? That's another thing. What do God mean to us? You know, who is this supernatural being that everybody want to make probably more cornier than Opie on Andy Griffin show? You know, this is that thing. You know, let's just look at that. What is God? Well, let's first do this. Brother Keith, if you can, go to Genesis chapter 1, and verse 1, and read 5. Because remember now, we're still with the first day, and the first day have a lot of elements involved. Well, we found out that first day is stacked with elements, okay? Stacked with elements. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and read to verse 5, please.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Amen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go back, and we're going to start this at verse 1. We're going to try to uncover as much as we possibly can as much as we possibly can in this conversation in the first day. It's not for us to teach every element, you know, because God of Israel got to reveal some things to you, the listener, right? So
yes, sir.
We can only point out certain things. So what we want to do is point out these things. So read verse chapter 1 and verse 1 for me, please.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Stop. So right there, we're going to deal. In the beginning, we dealt with what was in the beginning last week. Those of us that was here that heard that precept, what's in the beginning, we found out that in the beginning was nothing. God created nothing before he created something. Then he put bounds on nothing before created something. You see, this is that thing. You know, time isn't even created yet in the beginning because the beginning has a time window. Well, we found out that when we look at in the beginning, you go to in the beginning. You got to go past in the beginning because beginning means there's a beginning of something. Well, what about before that? Eternity? Okay. All right, so eternity was created too, which was before the beginning. Everlasting created before eternity.
Amen.
Nothing was created before there was anything. How do you create nothing? Right? People say, well, there isn't a God. Well, who think of creating nothing?
Amen.
That's my question. Who think of creating nothing? So you're going to tell me you came up with that, right? You don't think of, look, I think I'm going to create something. Right. But who created, who think of that? Who think of creating nothing? God did. He came up with it. You see, he came up with nothing before he created something.
Without form and void.
Void, yeah, absolutely. It was nothing. Lawlessness. Form and void mean there was absent of laws. Absent of laws. Absent of the word. Right? So.
Amen.
The next one here is this. It said God. So let's look up the English definition of God. A being conceived as perfect, omnipotent, omniscient, originator, the ruler of the universe, the principal object of faith and worship in monotheistic religion. You know, why? Because polytheism has multiple gods. Monotheism is the worship of one. You see, Egyptians used to worship many gods, thanks to Joseph, thanks to Moses, that changed, right? Thanks
right.
to this world, that changed. You see, it says the fourth aspect or manifestation or the aspect of this being. So he got power, he's perfect, he's omnipotent, the originator and the ruler of all things. And it says a being of supernatural powers or attributes believed and worshiped by people, and especially a male deity thought to control some part of nature or reality. So
that's true.
It's conceived that, let me finish my thoughts, bro, please. It's conceived that God created reality. okay. But you want to say there's no God, but you live it in a reality that came from somewhere. You live it in a reality that came from something, and you're not going to tell me there's no such thing as time. And it says this. Going to this a little further, it says, supernatural being who is worshipped as the controller of some part of the universe or as some aspect of life in the world or is personification of some force. In ecclesiastical terms, an image, idol, or symbolic representation of some deity, any person or thing which excessively attention given to. A man who has a quality regarding as making him superior to other men, right? So, and it says this in theology, it says, the soul supreme being, eternal, spiritual, transcendent, who is the creator and the ruler of all, and is infinite in all attributes, the object of worship and monotheism, religion. So, let's get into this. Let's see how they correct, right? Let's see if these things correct. Let's start this once again. In the beginning, read that Genesis 1 and 1.
Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Now skip
and
down
the earth.
Verse 20. Hold on. Now skip down to verse 26.
Verse 26 reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Stop. So he said, so now we see that God said, let us. Wait a minute. It just went from God singular to a plural. You know, and there's a certain,
yes.
There's a such thing as a Plural. Uniplural means this, building, which means one, but have many rooms. Church, one building, many members. Family, singular, many members. So God is the same thing, singular, but more than one member. So God isn't the name of the being. God is what's called as what it is. It's not the actual per se what it is. It's a place of an existence where he dwell or they dwell, as we see in Genesis chapter 26. Let us make man in our image. Well, what do you mean, let us make man in our image? Let's start this in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. When you receive it, read.
Isaiah 57 and 15 reads, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name
Stop.
Is holy.
This isn't Isaiah, because Isaiah don't inhabit eternity. This is the Spirit speaking through Isaiah, letting us know that he or
He dwell in eternity. So thus say the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, right? Read on.
Yes. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
Stop. So now we got here, he said, thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him. Two. So you have people want to sit up and say, oh, look, there is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Not in the scriptures. So not in the scriptures. There's God the Father and God the Son, and then there is the Holy Spirit. Right? Or spirit.
Right.
Right? Because you got those that are in heaven, I still refer to as Holy Spirit. They have jobs, right? They're waiting on jobs.
Right.
Those of us that are being baptized and choose to be baptized, you end up with one. Today's job is to lead and guide you into all truth, to protect you from things that's coming. Evil, that is to say, through dreams and manifestations and such and such. They will talk to you through supernatural manifestations. They
Amen.
Have this power. We're going to look at those things. These things is what God do. He talked to us through these principles. He talked to us through angelic beings that we call brethren. You see, so you got God the Father, God the Son, but there isn't no God, the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing. That is a Roman Catholicism dogma or doctrine. You see, that a lot of us that came up through slavery or mass deception, which is another form of slavery, has accepted as dogmas or doctrine without even reading not one page of that, not one verse of that, not one word that it says God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in the Bible. It don't even say it in the Catholic Bible. How about that for you? It ain't got a Bible. But they base their Bible off the King James 1611. They base their Bible off the King James 1886. But they also may remember to keep that Apocrypha in there too, which is based off the 1611. However, nothing within their scriptures will tell you that there's God the Holy Ghost and God the Father. There's no such thing as a Trinity. There's no such thing as a Holy Trinity conversation through the scriptures. That don't exist. You see here, too, God, it said, I dwell. It says this, for thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. If you was with us last week, you know what eternity means. Whose name is holy? We haven't even gotten to that yet. And it says, I dwell in a high and holy place with him. Why? Because there's nothing up there that's unholy now. The angels that was wicked was kicked out. The angels that sinned against him were kicked out. So that place is holy. Why? Because Jesus sprinkled the holy place with his blood at the resurrection. So it's holy. What did he do? He sprinkled a holy place where the Father dwells. What do you mean? Let's look at this a little further. Let's look at this again. Let's go to St. John chapter 1:1. St. John chapter 1:1, when you receive the read. Bro, I need you to pick it up a little bit, bro.
Yeah, sorry. I'm using the book, so I can't. I'm trying to move as fast as I can. I apologize. I'm using the book. That's why it take me a couple of seconds, but I apologize. St. John 1:1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Stop. It don't say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and the Word was with God." No, it don't say that. It says, two. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Read two.
"The same was in the beginning with God."
So this is what we just got to read in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So whoever this is that's with God created the heaven and the earth with God. Do that make any sense? About time we get done with this precept, it will. In fact, read this one and continue to read.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not."
Now, he said this. Now, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." He said it again. And then he said, "All things was made by him, and without him was not anything made." Right? Let's look at
this. Sir.
Let's go into Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Who is this person that was with God? Hebrews 1 and 1, when you receive it, read.
I'm almost there. Please bear with me. I'm using a book.
I got you.
Thank you, please. Hebrews 1 and 1 reads. Yes, sir. Hebrews 1 and 1 reads, "God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed."
So we see now God, this one person, whoever this is God, spake to us, and he has a son, right? Not physically like he
right.
actually go and have sex with anybody, but he became a son. We're going to read that. But anyway, read that too again.
Verse 2, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world."
Who, so you see here, in the beginning, not only did he create the heaven and the earth, but he also created what?
The worlds.
The worlds. Wait a minute. When I let, that's plural. Does that say worlds or world? That's a plural. So what do? We got to find out what it means. So the next thing is this. Let's look up world. And what do world mean? Because obviously world do not mean earth. Because that's not a plural. Earth isn't a plural. You see, but worlds is Earth is a singular, but worlds are plural. You see that? So you, I mean, when you look at this, watch this. We're gonna show you that when you say Earth, it's one thing. When you say plural, when you say world, that's an entirely different conversation. So he's telling us, he said he created the world. So let's look at that. He said, now this is the definition of world. It's the earth, especially together with the life, it supports. Right now, he said everything on this planet, he created everything on this planet have a world. What do you mean? Red ants have a world. Black ants have a world. Fire ants have a world. Mosquitoes have a world. Flies have a world. What they call them, big flies? Cow flies have a world. Locusts have a world. Grasshoppers have a world. Spiders have a world. Different kinds of world. A shark has a world to itself that it exists in, and trout have a world that it exists in. Tuna have a world that it exists in. So he created all these different worlds that's inside of the earth. So the earth isn't a world. The earth inhabits the worlds. You see, continuing with that, dolphins have a world to themselves. What do you mean? Even different dolphin clans have different worlds. Why? Because man has picked up that even dolphins have a certain speech among their own clan. They have a speech to themselves. In other words, the dolphins in the Arctic speak different than the dolphins that are in the Atlantic. Those are two different worlds. Then you got the super dolphin, which we call killer whale. There's no such thing as a killer whale. That's a dolphin. That's a giant dolphin. That's a world to itself. Those dolphins don't hang with the little dolphins, because they got a world to themselves. Then when you look at that, so he created that. He created all the worlds inside of the oceans. Different crabs got worlds, different, you know, lobsters got worlds and stuff like that. And, you know, yeah, you're not supposed to go down there eating them. That's what they were, because they got, that ain't your job. You're supposed to eat that. But then you got all these different kinds of fishes in the ocean. They got worlds unto themselves. You got sardines, and then you got different types of planktons and all that, all this different stuff. This world to themselves, I mean, world at large, we're not thinking how many worlds are on the earth. The earth is not a world. The earth is, it inhabits the world. Then you get into the different beasts of the field. You got different beasts of the field that hold worlds to themselves. What do you mean? You got different sorts of lions that have worlds. You got mountain lions. Then you have the Sahara or the African terrain our lions. Those there. Then you got bears, right? You got the brown bear, the grizzly bear, then the polar bear. Those are different worlds. Those bears, when they worlds collide, they ain't having it. You're not disrupting my world, right? So that's another conversation in itself. So those are worlds that God created among the beasts of the field. Then you have the cows. You got, let's stop there. Before we even get to cows, you got goats, different sorts of goats and lambs. They got worlds to themselves. Lambs and goats, which would be out the same family, and llamas and stuff like that, they all out the same family. You can all have them on the same farm, yet they all exist in a different world, and they will not mate with each other. They will not mate with each other because they are of different worlds. A tiger will not have sex with a lion.
Amen.
Because
that's
two different worlds. That's a world to itself. Are we getting an understanding out of this? Then he said this. He said he created the world. When it comes to us, well, mankind, our world to themselves. What do you mean? Ham, Shem, and Japheth all have different worlds, all created different worlds. The Lord gave Ham the first world, Egypt, Babel, Nineveh, those things. That came from Ham, Canaan, things like that. And then they have multiple worlds within the world. That means to say Canaan, even though Egypt had, you had Egypt, but then you had Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. Those were two different worlds. They operated with two different governments. Right? So that's worlds within worlds. You see, now you got also, here comes Shem, right? Here comes Shem. You got the 12 tribes, 12 different worlds all together, alone. And then outside, inside of those 12 different worlds were different families born inside of those worlds, and they all had different conversations and different makeups and things like that. You see, so they're worlds unto themselves. And finally, we have the Gentiles, which is up under Japheth. They are worlds unto themselves. You know, just like now, we're in a Gentile world. And we're living in a world that belongs to them, in the states of the Americas, the United States. Well, I'm in the United States, and I know Brother Hutchinson is in the United States. So I can say safely, we know that the states operate in different worlds. Why? Because I leave Minnesota and go to Texas, that's an automatic different world, because the minute they open their mouth, I already know that they're totally different. They think different. They sound different. Their music is different. That's a different world.
Amen. Amen.
I leave Minnesota and I go to Maine, and as soon as they open their mouth, first thing I learn is that they got a different world there. They're a world apart from each other. They're a world apart from Dallas and Minnesota. You know, they may be similar because they're up under one banner, which would be the American flag, but they're worlds unto themselves. What do you mean? They got governments that are unto themselves. Their laws are even different inside of the Union that make their world even different. The laws in Florida are very different than the laws in New York. The laws in New York are very different than the laws in Minnesota. The laws in California are very different than the laws in Texas. And the laws in Texas is very different than the laws in Florida. Those are worlds to themselves. That's why when you go to those different parts of the country, you've got to understand what world you're in, and you better know your environment. And even inside of, like, Chicago, you got, I'm just bringing this up. You got worlds within itself. You got the north side, south side, east side, and the west side. They all think differently.
Yes.
Worlds inside of a world. He said, I created all of that. What do you mean he created all of that? Because he said, in the beginning, God said, in the beginning was the Word. 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 What is a word? Well, let's look at it. When he created the worlds, he had to teach the worlds how to what? Think. Word, a sound or combinations of sounds or its representation in writings and printing. It that symbolizes and communicates the meaning and may consist of a singular metamorphism or a combination of morphemes. Something said, utterance, a remark, a comment. So sounds and combinations of sounds. So this is the thing. When you go to Texas, that's a different sound. Immediately, he's telling us, in the beginning, was the word. He's telling us, I created the different sound even in the United States. That's why the Texas sound different than a person from Boston. Somebody from Boston sound different from someone from New York, and that's an easy fix. People know that people from Boston or New York knows they are from Boston. Why? Because the combination of the sound, which is word, word, word. In the beginning, he created the world. What do you mean? Go to 1 Corinthians. No, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 1.
Second
Corinthians 4 and verse 1, when you receive it, read.
Second Corinthians 4:1 reads, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
See, this is that thing. There it is. He says this. Let's pay attention to this conversation. This is why I had him read all the way to verse 6. Now we're going to go back and look at this thing. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and that as we receive mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in a craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's consciousness in the sight of God. How do you appease every man's consciousness? Hold your thought here and go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Because remember now, he created the worlds. This only God can do, right? Acts chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
And Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When you receive a read.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven.
Different words.
Now.
Different words.
Yes.
Right? So these brethren were from different worlds, and these angels spoke with different dialects to them and their own knowledge and their own understanding in the language that they dream in. Apologies, bro. I mean, I get the idea of speaking in Hebrew and so forth, but I got to ask you this. What language do you dream in? Exactly.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But
you know,
I believe... And I believe that we are either Hebrews or Jews, and we speak a different language that was taught a long time ago.
Well, bro, when I dream, I'm not dreaming. No, when I have someone talking to me in my dreams, it's in English. That's all to it. That's all I know. My dream don't come to me talking to me like, tie my bow tie. No, it don't do none of that. My dreams don't speak to me in Spanish. My dreams don't speak to me in Swahili. My dreams don't speak to me in Cantonese. My dreams don't speak to me in Arabic. My dreams speak to me in English. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing, anything wrong with learning them dialects. Don't get me wrong. That's an actual beautiful thing. But don't tell me that I need to know this dialect when God is speaking to me in a dream in a language that I know. Now we get into
Because you're coming into my world. You're coming from a totally another different state of mind. You coming into my world.
Watch this. Keep reading.
Verse six. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Wait a minute.
They were all amazed.
They was amazed, man, because they heard him. They heard the word of God in their own dialect. Why? Because those brothers don't dream the same dialect. You can miss that. You can forget about that. That's real basic common knowledge. What language do you dream in? Bruh, you can pray all you want in Hebrew. Bruh, you can pray all you want in Arabic. You can pray all you want in Cantonese. But when you lay down and go to sleep, guess what? Your dreams is going to be in English. Period. That's going to be it. Unless you were born in Arabia, then your dreams are going to be in Arabic. Unless you were born in China, your language, your dreams are going to be in Cantonese. Continue.
Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Parthians and Medes and Egypt and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, nay, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Greeks and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
See, he created the worlds. These are worlds. These are worlds,
yes,
apart. These are worlds apart, man. Only God can do that. Only there is, look, man, there's a God. Only a God.
He called him out.
Wait a minute. Now watch this, watch this. Now he said, read that verse 6 again.
He said, now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were
okay,
all
now,
amazed.
There was what? Confounded. They were confounded. That ain't the first time we heard that conversation. Go to Genesis chapter 10. Forgive me. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11.
Okay.
Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 11 and 1 reads, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
Exactly. Exactly. Read on. So you know what this tells me? That Adam and Eve spoke the same language. Adam and Noah spoke the same language. Noah and his three sons spoke the same language all the way up to this point. When you got to this point, this is when God got rid of the speech of the Chesedek. You know why? Because man became to the point they got way too intelligent for their own britches. Now, we may not speak the same conversation, but technology is bringing us together that we will have one speech. And once again, we back to this conversation. Man has become one speech. What do you mean? Through technology. Read on.
And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Excuse me. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, excuse me, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this began to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Two, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech.
See that? He created the world right there. Remember now,
yes,
the apostles was confounded because they was of one speech. How we hearing the word of God in our own dialect? Aren't they speaking Galilean? Wait a minute. This is confounding. Wait a minute. Aren't you confounded? Yeah, I'm confounded too. Hey, man, you speaking Galilean. How you hear what I'm saying? Hey, you speaking Arabic. How do you know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm confounded too. Yeah, I'm confounded in Greek. confounded in Rome. I'm confounded in I'm just confounded. Everybody is confounded. He had it here written. This is what he did, man. When he created the world, what he's saying is, it's going to come a time that I'm going to take the, I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to take your mind and I'm going to reprogram it. Only God can do that. Only God can reprogram a multitude of people's minds at once. Read on. Continue.
Verse 7. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from this upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city.
That's when he created the world. That's when all these worlds was created. This is why you got different dialects, even in Europe. Even though the Gentiles is, are Europeans, the French and the Germans speak a different conversation, and they have different manners. Italians and Bulgarians speak a different dialect, but they also have different manners. So when he created, when he confounded the world, he created a different mind. He reprogrammed every, man, he shocked the nervous system, Jack. He dug the mind that people would not be able to understand one another. How is that? Only God got the power to deal with your cranium, your cerebrum. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 and 26.
You know what I'm saying? Play this shit together. Let this get me. Genesis 1 and 26 reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creep up upon the earth.
Now, he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. That was the world right there. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing over the earth, right? So he said, image, right? So let's look at this word image. Because, see, this is the thing. First of all, when you look at image, you, he said, God said, let us make man in our image. So now we're looking up image. Image. Now, it says a representation or form of a person or object such as a painting or photograph, a sculpture or likeness. That's a physical. But then it's a spiritual part of this. I'm skip down to 4. It says the opinion or concept of something that is held by the public. That's a world. You see, opinion or concept of something that is held by the public. World. So he said, let us create man in our image. He created the world through the word image. Image. This is where world came from. Images. And then he said this. It says this, verse 6. Here go the other thing. A mental picture of something not real or present. What? Wait a minute. Only God can create a, you know what this is? A thought. Man, you could be sitting down there just thinking of something that's not real. You could be thinking of a car. Man, I could put these rims on this car. The car ain't out there yet. When I get this car, I'm going to put these rims on it. I'm going to have it this color. You're creating all these images in your head, And God said, I gave you the power to do that. I gave you the thought to do that. This is not a goof. Only a spirit can create thoughts, because thoughts are spirit. There is a God.
Mm.
It says this, a mental picture of something not real or present. So what is a something that's not real or present? Well, let's look at
imagination.
That.
Imagination.
Yes, sir. Imagination, right? So let's look up the word imagination. It says this.
Imagination.
Okay, imagination. It says it's the ability to form mental images of things that are not present to the sense or not considered to be real. So he said, I created these things in you that you will be able to do this. Only a God can give a spirit a spirit. A formation of such images or mental images. The mind viewed, it said a mind view, the ability to confront or deal with reality by using creative powers of the mind, not brain. Mind and brain are two different things. The brain houses the mind. The brain houses the mind. Pay attention to that. It says this. It says, the faculty or actions of producing ideas and mental aspect, especially mental images, or is not present or has not been experienced. Mental creative ability, the ability to deal resourcefully with the unexpected or unusual problem, a circumstance, he gave you the power to figure it out for yourself. Other words, he gave us free will.
Amen.
This is what, you know, cats want to sit up here and say, well, there's no God. Why should I believe in God? Well, I say, well, okay, then give him back your free will. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Give him back your free will. Well, what do you mean, man? Give him back your free will. Well, how am I going to give him back my free will? Look, what is it that you always complaining about? You're free. Well, yeah, that's right. Then give it back. Give it back. Don't tell me you're free. Don't tell me you're free to do whatever. You're an American. You're a German. You're African. You all these free things. Give it back. Give back his free will. If there's no God, you're saying that free will isn't a choice. The reason why you got free will is because he gave you the option to make decisions. Other words, when he gave you the idea of a free will or imagination, man, he gave you judgment. You know right from wrong. 1 + 1 = 2, not 3. You know that's wrong. So you already know what judgment is. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's a lie. That's wrong. That's a lie. That's wrong. That's a lie.
Amen. Amen.
That's from God. There is a God. Only God can give you the thought pattern. You know, people want to say there's no God. Well, tell me, how do you get your thoughts from? Where your thoughts come from? Don't tell me it was a marsupial. And yeah, I had one cell in the beginning, but then I had one cell, then it turned into two, and two turned into three. And guess what? With the first cell connected to the second cell, and the second cell connected to the third cell, and now all these different neural nervous systems, right? They said I had one nervous system in the beginning when I was whatever they call a marsupial, whatever that thing is that they want to say that we came from, that little slug that came out the water that ended up turning to us with thumbs, right? So they said that that thing started with one nervous system, and now we got more nervous system than the universe, than the cosmos running through our body. You kidding me?
No. No.
You telling me that's a goof? No, they, you know what? They know who to debate. They know who to have in front of them, because if I want to keep you stupid, I'm going to put somebody that I train to be stupid. What do you mean? Well, let's bring up Pastor such and such that with this degree and this theologian from this with this degree and this theologian with this degree, and all of them is talking about the same rhetoric. But here come you and I with none of their sheepskins. But guess what? They all take notice that, hey, they walk with Jesus just like they did with their disciples and the apostles, man. When you got the knowledge of God, they ain't gonna mess with you. They gonna keep the set dumb. We got to start. You know what? Be honest about it. I'm gonna start looking for these places of conversation, of
be nice
meaning. You know, debates of whether a man believes in God. We gotta start looking for that. Catch a plane and be there. And ask them, can we be on the podium? Deal with it.
Yes, sir.
Here's the thing. And it says this. It says imagination, the ability to deal resourcefully and unexpected resources. Then it says the action and the faculty of forming mental images, concept that is actually not present or to the senses, create talent or abilities, the product of imagining and conception and mental creations, and ability to face and resolve difficulties and resourcefulness. Watch this. The formation of mental images of something that is not perceived as real or present. Fantasies, like you could be sitting up there, man, and you could be thinking about a hottie and mess around and ejaculate. That's how real it can become in your imagination. Your imagination can have you all thinking that you're about to die. And you freaking die. Man, you guess I think I'm going to die in 2 days. And then you drop dead. Because you imagined that you was going to die and you brought it to life.
Yes, I agree.
But then you could be imagining, look, I'm going to have me $100 million by the time I'm 20, and you brought it to life. You know what else comes from imagination? Here it is. Dreams. Dreaming. Imaginative thoughts indulged while awake. He's in a dream or nothing, has nothing to do with reality. So when he created image, he created the idea of dreams. Where do dreams come from? Watch this. Go to Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33 and verse 14.
Job 33 and verse 14 reads, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in the slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth up the ears of men and sealeth their instruction." That
stop.
He may
see that?
Yes.
See, he had, when he created you in his image, he also created the concept that he would be able to talk to you through this mechanism, which he called the imagination, which is a spirit, which is dreams. Visions. Things like that. Only God can do that, man. Only God can do those things. Because he's a spirit being. So he deal with us in the spirit. That's why I say, you know, I ain't got no problem with you learning Hebrew or Cantonese or Spanish or whatever your dig is. Just don't tell me that I need to learn it to be just before God, because God don't talk to me in Hebrew. Because he do talk to me in dreams, because I understand the fact that he created dreams to talk to me in. So if he's talking to me in dreams, it's no way possible you finna tell me that I need to learn Hebrew to understand what he's trying to say to me.
Agreed.
The day that he speaks to me in Hebrew, in my dream, is the day that I will no longer speak English. Case in point. So serious. The day that he speaks to me in any other language other than my natural born language is the day that I stop using that language and start using another one. This is why they heard him in every form of in speech or whatever in the day of Pentecost, because God, he said, we appease to every man consciousness, as he said, let there be light. God said in the beginning, let there be light. God said in the beginning, let there be light. In the beginning was the word. Without the word, there is no form of consciousness. A baby has no form of consciousness until you teach them. They had a form of life. They know there's a life, but if a person isn't around them, if they was placed in a room and was just fed intravenously, they will never learn consciousness, even though they're born with the attribute. In fact, I just take all that back. I got to reiterate that. You know why? Because you understand pain and hunger. That's consciousness. They will cry because they're hungry. That's consciousness. Even though there's no one in the room, let me reiterate that. Even there's no one in the room to instruct this child to respond, it is conscious that it is hungry. It's conscious that it is alone. It's conscious that it needs certain things. We're born with that, and we want to say there's no God. The reason why we want to say there's no God is because we want to say there's no judgment. But that's like a super oxymoron, you know, because 1 + 1 = 2. That's a judgment. That's a judgment call. You can't get around it. Your mind would tell, and your mind would stand on that, hey, you can't say 1 + 1 = 2 because that's a born fact. You can't change that. That's an absolute truth. An absolute truth, that means there's an absolute lie. In order for there to be an absolute truth and an absolute lie, that means that there has to be an absolute consciousness. How do you get around that? That's that question. Now, let's go back to John chapter 1, and let's pick it up at verse 4. Now, pick it up at verse 1 again. Let's start there, and we're going to keep reading. John chapter 1 and verse 1.
John 1:1 reads,
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which light of every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Stop. So he said this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Right? Here come the world.
Right.
Like he said, he was in the world. Now watch this. Continue.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So wait a minute. So the Word was made flesh?
Yes.
Wait a minute. The Word became flesh. So the vibration of the entire, and I get that thing, the Big Bang. I feel you there. I feel the idea of the Big Bang on this wise, because in the beginning was the Word. What's the thing that's going to happen when you open your mouth and you somewhere and there's no one around, nothing, you in the middle of a canyon, nothing around, no birds, no animals, no anything. You say, hey, and guess what's going to happen? Hey, sound waves. Sound waves. He created that. And so man is trying to say the Big Bang is from that. No, it isn't. In fact, go to Philippians chapter 2, pick it up in 1. Philippians 2 and 1. When you receive it, read.
Philippians
chapter 2, verse 1.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Philippians 2 and 1 reads, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye with joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not
every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
So, he was God. He was God, man. The word was God, and it was made into a man. This is the thing that nobody want to believe, because we want to say that, you know, that's impossible. That's an impossible thing. But we experience the impossible all the time. We experience the miraculous all the time. We see the miraculous and the impossibilities of all things all the time. We see people, small and great, do the impossible and miraculous things all the time. How is it that when it comes to this, that's impossible? Because if this is possible, then guess what else is possible? The lake of fire.
Yes, sir.
That means if the lake of fire is possible, that means that the great white throne judgment is possible. Nobody want to think about that, because we want to be head on into our flesh and do things that is contrary to the word of God and his laws and statutes. People want to tell you that there's no such thing as a law, throw things of the law in the garbage, not realizing that if you keep the law, you in unison with everything in the creation, because all of it is bound by laws. That's why cows won't eat meat. That's why cows won't eat meat. A cow will never hunt down a rabbit. You can have a herd of cows and no grass, and a rabbit will run across the field, and you'll never see a whole bunch of cows trying to chase it to eat it. Imagine that. Exactly. You won't even get a bunch of pigs doing that, believe it or not. Because it's not in their nature. But let a cat or a dog or wolves or a bear, they'll do it because they're carnivores. That's the law. They're carnivores. But a cow would never do it because that's against the law of nature. That is the law against its being. You know, people sit up here and say, well, you know, I was born this way. I was born like this. I'm not straight. I'm they, right? Not. Every time you wake up in the morning, you're reminded of who you are. You got to lie to yourself. You got to lie to yourself. You got to lie to yourself that you are not a man or a woman, which is against the law, which is against nature. It's against the spirit. My take is this. Well, I got this man here. Once again, he's 6'7". He's in a mini skirt and the tube top with high heels on in the pocketbook, saying he's a woman trapped inside of a man's body. That's creepy, right? But then what's even creepier is that now you got this other man. He's 6'7". He's in a bird suit, and he got a dozen of eggs saying that he's a chicken trapped inside of a man's body. Question is, what's the difference? Six in one hand, a half a dozen in the other. You're going to say, I'm supposed to accept this person,
But this person that's saying he's a chicken, he needs psychological help. No. No. That's unreasonable. That goes against the brain. That goes against the spirit. They even know that they're opposing themselves. They know that they're wrong. Even though the lifestyle of this world, even though this world even accept the fact that you choose to even be in that mindset, they even know deep down in themselves that it's wrong.
They
but
accept it.
They can't help themselves. For whatever reason, I thank God that I'm not in that life and I got my own sins to deal with, but that's not one of them. I thank God for not giving me that spirit. I thank God for
Amen,
not letting
bro.
Me be born a woman.
Agreed, agreed.
I'm so glad I wasn't born a woman. I thank God for that. I don't think I had a mental capacity of having to deal with that monthly thing.
Two different worlds.
Oh, that's two different worlds. Thank you for saying that. Yes. Yes. That's a world without comprehension. And the world comprehended it not. Yes, my world can't comprehend that world.
No.
But that's the truth. And it's that thing, man. We just got to be careful. You know, we doing too much out here right now. We don't stay in our lanes. We are doing way too much. We don't stay in our lanes. In fact, we fear that which is true. We fear the absolute truth. Because Pilate even asked that question, what is truth? Jesus could have told him 1 + 1 = 2. Get around it.
You can't.
Because if it's a truth, this is what Pilate was saying. If you the son of God, if you the son of God, then what's truth? Because man don't believe that there's an absolute truth. If you God, what's the truth? 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, he say, I'm a plain, simple, equal, fair, and just God. I change not.
Well, I don't know about plain, but he is definitely a terrible and great and majestic being. Plain? That's a little bit something else. But he could talk to the simple. Ask me. I'm a witness. I was simple as they come. I was a super simp. But did we hear this? He said, let this mind be in you. He didn't say brain. He said mind. Mind and brain are two different things, two different entities. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in God. Why? Because if it's in you, then God can talk to you through dream or through imagination of visions. Let this mind be in you. Right?
Right?
Let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 1. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Okay? And let's pick it up at verse 1. And I'm just going to let you read this chapter. We're coming up on the clock. We're gonna have to deal with a part two on this one. We're gonna deal with a part two about God, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hebrews. Yes, sir. Hebrews 1:1 reads, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness.
Stop. He called the Son what? God.
Yep.
He's God. That was God. That was the one that was in the beginning. That was him.
Yes, it is, yes.
That was him. In the beginning, he said, I inhabit eternity with him. So now the Father said to him, thy throne, O God, he's calling him God, not spirit, not an angel, God. Read on.
Yes. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
There go that Isaiah chapter 15 and verse, Isaiah chapter 57 and 15 right there. I who inhabit eternity with him also of a contrite and humble spirit. Therefore, God, even thy God, capital G, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. Those that's going to come up in the first resurrection. Continue.
Woo! Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou shall remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But
stop.
To which of the angels?
Stop. He said, and thou, Lord, capital L, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy head. That's why he said, in the beginning, God, the Son and the Father, there they are. Right there. That's them. God, thy God, they both God. It's just what they are.
Yep.
It's like, you know,
Hey, Keith, you know, you're a black man. You know, you're one of those black people. You're a black dude, right? Therefore,
right.
Black person, and Job, you're a black person. So black person and black person is forever and ever. You know, it's just a being, a form of it. I wouldn't even say God is the proper pronunciation of the way he is. I would say I can use this because it's modern dialect. I can use this safely because it's in the Word of God. But technically, to me, it's Chesedek. But that's another conversation, which we'll pick up at another time, probably the next week. So with that being said, is there any questions or comments? I'm going to look and see if there's any hands up. If no, Brother Keith, no, there's no hands up. So if you got any closing comments before we close out?
Well, yeah, I just want to say those that's listening to the Commonwealth of Ministry, and, you know, grace and peace unto y'all. I pray y'all came out to listen to this wonderful works of God. Great teaching, Brother Job. You know, I thank God he put that on your heart. You know, may he water you with his knowledge and all of us as well. You know, realizing that, you know, that we know that if anyone on here, they know that if you look up the definition of the world, it's a state of mind. And we all have choices, and God gave us that in the beginning where we had no understanding at all. And as it says in Genesis 1, without form and void. So he brought the waters forth and created us through a pregnancy, but we were void of knowledge. So I just pray that since we've been brought forth and we have life right now, that I pray, God, that we won't take it for granted and that we be able to make it to be with God, to understand the creation in which he made. And with that, I close.
All praises, brother. Great job reading. Those of us that's listening, we hope that we edify someone. We hope that we allow someone to further their understanding and cause them to become, give them some sort of increase, you know, to a degree or to a greater degree, or maybe even a magnificent degree. Whatever the seed may allow itself to grow, we just hope and pray that the Father increases. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles, people. Time appointed. Shabbat shalom, Israelite.
Shabbat shalom. Love y'all. Grace and peace to the family. Y'all have a blessed Sabbath day.
Likewise.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.